Boston in February is paradise. While the rest of the country is gripped with snow, biting cold, or both, the self-professed home of the weird is in full flower. Endless blue Texas skies stretch from horizon to horizon. Temperatures hover in the low 60s, and wood smoke and slow-cooking brisket flavor the air. In February, it's hard to have a bad day in Austin. But I was giving it a hell of a try. I stomped on the gas pedal as the traffic light changed from yellow to amber. The 8-cylinder Hemi replied with a chest-rumbling growl, sending my truck hurtling through the intersection. A split second later, I slammed on the brakes, bringing the 5,000-pound Dodge Ram to a screeching stop. A comfortable 6 inches now separated my pickup and the bumper sticker-adorned electric blue Prius ahead of me. On the bench seat to my right, a packet of papers slid toward the floorboard. I made a grab for them and missed, snagging the thin green tissue, wrapping a bouquet of crimson roses instead. All things considered, I'd take the flowers over the papers any day. Even with the papers scattered across the truck's floorboard, I could still read the words "Radiology Department" stamped across the tops of the pages in sterile block letters. At this distance, the spidery blue handwriting filling the margins wasn't legible, but I knew what the doctor had scribbled all the same. The Prius driver glared in his rearview mirror, and I chuckled. Apparently, the coexist sticker plastered to his bumper didn't extend to fellow Austinites, at least not during lunch hour traffic anyway. Though to be fair, I wasn't in much of a coexist mood myself. But this had nothing to do with the angry Prius driver. No, my ire was focused on the man in the late model Honda, one intersection to my rear. The man who wanted to kill me. My name is Matt Drake, and I do not have a normal vocation. For the last year, I haven't had much of a vocation at all. However, before my self-imposed leave of absence began, I worked in a unique field. A field in which the ability to tell the difference between a distracted driver and a trained operative transitioning from surveillance to interdiction was a matter of life and death. This is why I knew that the dark-complected man driving the Honda was focused on more than just traffic. At the previous stoplight, he'd cut off a white Tesla Roadster to edge in behind me, abandoning any pretense of remaining covert. He hadn't followed me through the red light, which bought me a bit of time, but not much. As I waited for the signal in front of me to change, the Honda's driver reached above his head, adjusting the sun visor. This innocuous-seeming motion provided final confirmation. The driver was wearing gloves. Gloves in 60-degree weather. And not just any gloves. The thin Nomex variety that stretched from his hand to midway up his forearm. The type of gloves favored by just two groups of people, pilots and shooters. My leave of absence was officially over. Shifting in my seat, I drew the Glock 23 tucked into my Don Hume in the waistband holster and press-checked the pistol. A shiny 40-caliber hollow point winked back at me. Easing the slide forward, I set the pistol on the seat between my legs and considered what to do next. The signal turned green, and traffic heaved forward. Or at least, most of it. Mr. Coexist did not. Instead, he rolled toward the intersection at a snail's pace, burning time until the light cycled yellow. Then he accelerated, surging through the juncture at the last moment, as his tiny car barreled beneath the now red traffic signal. He bade me farewell with a one-fingered salute. Behind me, the shooter eased through the intersection, nudging up to my bumper. The key to defeating an ambush is actually pretty simple. Don't get caught in the kill zone. I didn't know where the shooter intended to initiate. But since lead had yet to start flying, the kill zone had to be somewhere in front of me, which meant I needed to act. Now. Smashing the brake with my left foot, I shifted the truck into neutral and revved the engine with my right. As the RPM crept past 6,000, I tightened my seatbelt, locked the Glock under my right leg, and prepared to throw the transmission into reverse. And that was when a woman, pushing a stroller, stepped into the road.